Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, welcome back, my precious audience. I want to continue sharing information that reveals God's heart of love for all people and revealing His desire to use us for the salvation of as many people as possible. So let me start by mentioning the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus told the Jews, "Many in Israel has leprosy in the time of the prophet Elijah, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian." I was surprised when I read that recently. I started meditating and thinking and reading what our Christian respectable commentators wrote. And some of them wrote, no more dramatic illustration could have been given that the grace of God was not limited to the people of Israel, and that the Gentiles often were the objects of God's love. And of course, Naaman the Syrian was not only a Gentile, but a military leader, captain of the Syrian army, which at that very time was at war with Israel and had almost eradicated Israel. I knew that because the commentators referred to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. You know, the last thing I was expecting that Jesus will mention something like that. No wonder most of the Jews who heard Jesus saying that was very angry. No wonder he was rejected by most of the Jewish people that he met, most of the crowds, especially the leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. Now, they felt Jesus is insulting their nation, called in question their privileged status as God's chosen people. Because after all, God chose them. God chose the Jewish people. However, the vision of a universal kingdom was essential, integral to the plan of Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. You see, of course, Jesus, a Jew, most of them disciples were Jews, and Jesus loved the Jewish people and the Apostle Paul, and we love them and all that, you know. We are not questioning that. And Jesus, of course, approached the Jewish people and tried to help them have the right relationship with God. We are not questioning that. But it is surprising that Jesus is mentioning a few facts that highlight God's love for the Gentiles, for other people. I was personally blessed that God's love was not only focused on the Jewish people, but included all people, even according to the Old Testament. Okay, Jesus told his Jewish audience another story. In Luke chapter 4, verses 25-26, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet, Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow, in the land of Sidon. Wow! Jesus' hearers knew the rest of the story told in 1 Kings chapter 17. Received into a Gentile home, Elijah performed the miracle of replenishing the flour and the oil of the widow who is a foreigner, not a Jew. Then later restored the widow's son to life, not a Jewish widow, but a Gentile. Jesus was not surprised that most of his own people did not receive his message. Okay, on many occasions, Jesus modeled, expressed God's heart for all people by deliberate outreach to Gentiles, who most Jewish people despised at the time. I read in Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, among 10 lepers Jesus healed, one was a Samaritan. And Jesus commented upon the fact that only the foreigner returned to thank him. Let me read the passage. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the men, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed him." Jesus told that to the Samaritan. We also read Jesus rewarded a Canaanite woman's faith by healing her daughter. Jesus' disciples wanted to send her away with her request unanswered, but Jesus had compassion on her and ministered to this Gentile woman and praised her faith in the presence of his disciples and the Jewish onlookers. Jesus told her, "Woman, you have great faith." We read that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 28. Initially, Jesus told her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Matthew 15, verse 24, because Jesus came as their Messiah. Jesus said these words as a fulfillment of prophecy, a setting of priorities, and a test of the woman's faith. Jesus said, "It is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Dogs was a standard word Jews reserved for Gentiles, especially those Gentiles who tried to intrude upon Jewish religious privacy and privilege. The Canaanite woman were not turned off, did not give up, but she must have seen something in Jesus' eye and tone of voice that made her realize the truth about Jesus, that he is filled with love and compassion, not only toward his Jewish people, but also toward her, a Gentile. All right, so now I want to move to a different issue. However, it is related also to God's heart for the whole world. And I will tell you why it is related. But first, let me remind you of what the Word of God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So Apostle Paul traces the power of evil back to its ultimate source, Satan. And we know from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, that our struggle is not against a human opponent, but against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly places. So, our struggle then are not against Muslims or Palestinians or even Islam, but against the forces of evil who blinded the eyes and minds of Muslims. So, Muslims are not our enemies. They are victims to Satan, our enemy. Actually, Muslims are our mission field. God wants us to treat Muslims as we wanted to be treated if we were in their position, in their place. To treat them with respect and have concern for their well-being. Their well-being on earth and eternally. And God wants us to manifest God's love for them. You know, this is very important to me because I remember some time ago, I will not tell you when, but I used to read the news even in Egypt, when I was in Egypt long, long time ago, and also in America. I hear news that Israel tried to kill a terrorist. However, a few civilians were killed, children and women included. And I don't feel any compassion. I say, so what? You know, if Israel can destroy all her enemies, they are all enemies. And I felt the same way when America attacked her enemies, for example, Afghanistan. Anyway, I did not have God's compassion and love toward my enemies and his enemies and America's enemies and Israel's enemies. I did not have much compassion, really. And then God started changing my mind and my feelings through his word. The verses I read to you, and not only in this program, but in previous programs, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God told me, hey, wake up. The weapons you should fight with should be spiritual weapons. The word of God and the prayer being filled with the Holy Spirit, because they have divine power. What are you doing, Sammy? You want to kill all your enemies? And then I realized that God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and depend on the word of God to fight our battles, to set Muslims free from Satan's captivities, to set Palestinians free from Satan's captivities. You know, because really when we ask the question, can Islam or Muslims or, you know, our enemies ultimately do anything to threaten the existence of the church or prevent our final triumph or God's final victory? Can Muslims frustrate the plan of God? Of course not. Because we know from Colossians 2, that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, the final victory over all the power of the devil was gained. Hallelujah! We are not fighting a battle for God against Muslims or against anybody whose outcome depends on the intensity of our efforts. No! We are simply seeking the spoils of victory. Every person, my friend, that becomes a Christian proves Christ's invasion of the devil's kingdom and a sign of the final fate of the power of evil. They are destined to destruction when Jesus comes back to this earth. Let me give you a really good example. In Acts 8, Saul was determined to destroy the whole church. He was the leading general in Satan's army. Saul! Jesus told Ananias, go to Saul, because I have chosen him to serve me, to make my name known to Gentiles and kings and to the people of Israel. Of course, Ananias must have been scared, you know. Satan couldn't stop Jesus. Jesus still today changes the lives of fanatic Muslims, of Muslim terrorists. Of course, Saul was a terrorist. His goal was to arrest the Christians, kill them as possible. God made him the Apostle Paul. So the Word of God is helping us to change our attitude toward all people, including our enemies. All right, so I want to share with you also another issue. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Apostle Paul said, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law, so I can bring them to Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. All right. Now, very important verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom or your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. So Apostle Paul wanted the message of the gospel to be free from any obstacles in the minds of lost sinners. Paul tried to find common ground with everyone to gain the widest possible hearing for the gospel. Paul's overriding purpose was to help people believe in Christ. He kept the main thing the main thing. He had a definite sense of direction. God wants us to focus on giving people the pure message of the gospel. A wise evangelist always seeks to build the bridges, not walls. Paul knew that God finds his greatest pleasure in having a relationship with the people he created, because God, through this relationship, exercises his favorite thing, giving people peace, joy, love, give them abundant life, because God is love. God is able to practice who he is. So Paul loved God with all his heart and had a burning desire to please God, because he was persecuting Jesus' disciples, arresting, killing them. God forgave him and made him the Apostle Paul. Paul also loved his neighbor as he loved himself. The greatest commandment, treated people the way he wanted to be treated. If he is in their place, people without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, have no peace, no joy, no hope, feeling guilty, captive to sin, tortured by Satan, separated from God's presence, now and forever. All his words and actions were for the benefits of those that are not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said, I try to please everyone. in everything I do what is best for others so that they may be saved. So I learned from Apostle Paul that it is important that we cause as little offense as necessary and confine our offense to Muslims and to Jews, to the message of the gospel. We must genuinely love all Muslim people and all Jewish people. We must genuinely love all Arab people, all Israeli people, and share Jesus effectively with them. We are out of time. I hope you will join me next week.
I have a coworker who I can consider somewhat of a friend who's Muslim. We talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible. I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament. I had given him a Bible,
So I
don't know. You know, hopefully he still has that in his house.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian. And he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And The gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with Him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. I want to mention to you something very important. I haven't been mentioning it. I would love to speak at your fellowship to further motivate the believers to love their neighbors, of course, and their enemies, and to love those people that are different than them, and to equip your fellowship to share Jesus effectively with them, including Muslims. You can reach me at 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. I would love to give your fellowship some of the 40 years of ministry experience and education that God gave me so your fellowship can be used to expand God's kingdom. And now you can listen to Glad News for Muslims wherever you hear your favorite podcast. If God puts it in your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.